Hello, my friend. It's wonderful again to sit with you on today's particularly sunny day on Mount Irenaeus. It's quiet except for the wonderful sound of birds that woke up some time ago in a light breeze, and it's the feast of St. Clare of Assisi. I'm not sure where you might be. Of course, I'm not. I don't have a periscope to look around. But I've talked to a number of you recently, and I realize that we have a wonderful circle of friends who occasionally listen in with each other. And each of us, when we do listen here, feel this sense of intimacy, closeness, and care. That delights me because I believe that's at the heart of what God offers us, and a simple gift within that great love of God that I'm trying to offer to you and to others. That in these times together, we might listen and hear the call of God within our own hearts and might be stirred to a deeper way of seeing the world, seeing our own lives, and living. Living is more than just seeing, but seeing is one of our ways to come to live, and I want to speak about that in a moment when we reflect on St. Clare. This year, for her feast day, which falls on a Sunday, the gospel is a rich one, particularly in the Franciscan world, and so I'm embracing you in that world today and inviting you to be a part of it if you wish. And your tradition may be other than Christian, and that's fine, but listen to these words of wisdom that Jesus spoke to his disciples, his friends who were gathering to learn from him. He says, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." And just a bit further on, he says, "For where your treasure is, there also your heart will be." For where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom.
Do not fear, my little flock, for the Father is glad to give you the kingdom. Wherever your treasure is, there also your heart will be. And the Father is glad to be your shield.
These were words very dear to St. Francis of Assisi, words he shared with his followers, his brothers and sisters, we would guess. And so they may have been part of a conversation that he had had with St. Clare. It may have been words that she comforted him with. They're striking, aren't they? Because they follow the first few words with then the great call to sell your belongings, give alms, provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, and an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth can destroy. In other words, for where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Jesus is simply trying to open our eyes again to the fullness and richness of life. You might be making cookies right now. I talked to someone the other day who bakes sometimes and listens to a podcast. I sort of like that. I hope I don't mess up your recipe. I hope within it is buried the truth of the love of God and the comfort of being God's little flock. And that's part of the wonder of baking, isn't it? Indeed, it's the very wonder of the bread that we bring to the table we call the altar when we break it. It's prepared for us prior to the great meal, the Eucharist. And then Jesus prepares it for us, makes it his very own self, by breaking it open and dispels all fear. No longer any need to be afraid, little flock. And yet, if I'm honest with you, it's a pretty regular thing that I get a little bent out of shape over things and worried, and it's so wonderful to be called away from there by phrases like this, by the example of others, by simply sitting and being quiet as we are right now and letting our compass, our center, help us hear and see, know and follow. St. Clare, as I've reflected before, had her own quadrant of words that give us a deep sense of movement. And she talks about it in this way, reflecting with Agnes of Prague, who she wrote a few times, at least four, in beautiful letters that I've reflected on too with you. We hear this coming from a woman who spent most of her life before the crucifix, St. Clare of Assisi, and saw there in the pain and torment of Jesus, primarily the love poured out for us in Jesus Christ. She saw the wonder of God's love. The reason why we don't have to be afraid, because someone loves us that much, that because we have an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. And that if my treasure is really there, then my heart will also be there. So there's this concurrent, there's this sense of coming together, this flow of mind and heart and intent. If you're noticing, we have a bird outside who's singing along with us today, by the way. It's quite a delight. And a delight. And maybe this bird is gazing and considering and contemplating and in its own way imitating, singing out the song of the resurrected one, as Clare would invite us to. The gazing is so rich that I find myself considering it very often. It's not a stare. It's not our looking that gets caught in a stuck look out, but it's an openness of heart to what is before us. An awareness of the awesomeness of that which we are gazing upon begins to open for us. We would say a veil is lifted or pulled back, which is the meaning of revelation. Revealed is the cross, is God's love, is the treasure, is the kingdom, is the fact that we are a little flock. And with that is this consideration I'm moving into, which might not be yours. You may have your own. Considere, interestingly enough, and I've reflected on it here too, I think, I probably will a few more times, really means, in a sense, to be with it from the stars or with the stars, to have this 3,000-foot view of things, this looking up and out from a place of amazement that has us, we would say, a global picture or cosmic view. To gaze, to consider that way, is that our heart begins to expand to a cosmic capacity. And so it contemplates. This is the wonderfully active place of beyond word and symbol and image that is just the, has a, sometimes a felt sense to it, but not necessarily. It could be just stillness or quiet or no feeling amazement. And with that contemplation comes the choice of our lives to imitate. That's why we're disciples, to follow, to be one with, to take up our own cross symbolically, to enter into the challenges of the day, to go back to work, to work out the issues with someone in our lives, to face into things. Moral living comes really out of mystical experiences. And mystical experiences help to heal our moral lives. where we have trouble living morally, which is to say attuned with the wonderful covenant that God has made with us and we with one another, the engaging of this mystical sense of God's abiding presence brings rectitude to us. It has us stand up straight and see things in the bright light of God's love. And then you and I begin to live that way. So the mystical molds the moral, motivates the moral. Do not be afraid any longer, little flock. So not an awful lot about Claire, but we sort of sit with her, I hope, and in her spirit today. And each day we find holy people, some of them we live with or walk by or wonder about, who might be our partners too in life. Women and men on the journey, making their way through this world as well. Gazing, considering, contemplating, imitating. Be still. And know that I am God. For Greg Licamelli, who is so wonderful at producing these things and thematic with me on them often, and the other members of our mountain community, be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Have a blessed day, my friend. Let us pray for each other and the terrible pain that is being endured by many in our world and in our country at this time. May we bear them before the crucifix. May we find ways of helping the little flock no longer fear.
Strong, I have come.